Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them
the
free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Still trust the FDA, huh? Well, wait till you get the latest on what they've been up to. AOC says healthcare is not an entitlement to be earned. It's a human right? What is wrong with that statement? I mean, besides everything. What's going on with religious exemption from the jabs? Well, we'll need to establish a religious exemption from gun confiscation next, because the CDC is weighing in saying that gun ownership is a health risk. Unreal. Here's a nurse that just makes too much sense. She said, why do the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected in the first place? Threw up her arms in disgust and walked out. God bless her. The Antichrist Chinese Communist Party. How much reach does it have into our lives today? Okay, then this. Why the church truly is the answer right now, and why pastors must wake up to the reality and the principles of God's war before it's too late. And for my friends who struggle with severe anger reaction to all of this, I totally understand. What's my secret? How can I live in with happiness and joy through all this without losing my cool? Friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Still trust the FDA, eh? Well, wait till you get a hear of this. You know, we say, wait till you get a look at this. Why don't we say, anyway, governments rule by gaining the people's trust or by terrorizing them with fear. The more government loses the trust of the people that they are supposed to serve, the more that government depends on fear to rule them. Every government that rules by fear is tyrannical and invariably finds it necessary to increasingly oppress the people. America is under siege of a tyrannical usurpation government where a foreign power, China specifically, the CCP, is controlling the people's government through traitors, domestic traitors, who have sold out to the CCP for money, for reward. And these, supported by the traitors, who are ideologically aligned with Marxism in this country, and there are a bunch of them, who have a special fondness for Mao, and who, on a very deep level, perhaps unaware in some cases, but on a very deep level, they are drawn to Mao's particular hatred for Christianity, something shared by Xi Jinping's wife, who vowed to destroy Christians from all of China and around the world, made it a personal mission. The government medical establishment has broken our trust, and so they must turn to fear tactics to, you know, get us to comply. Fauci has been the point man in that. Look, I can't go into the details, and I'm actually reminding most of you hearing this anyway. But consider all the lies we've been told by our government related to this COVID thing. It started with lies about the origin of the virus. We were told it was a bat virus that evolved to become infectious to humans, and it came from some hapless Chinese guy that contracted it eating bat at a wet market in China. It turns out that was a lie. It originated in the Wuhan lab in Wuhan, China, and it was manufactured in that lab with the assistance of American funding, by the way, facilitated by none other than phony Fauci. It's true that some Christian nets cringe when I talk like that. And they get so angry with me, they call me names. Isn't this funny? How ironic. But think about it. Jesus called Herod that fox, which, by the way, was an insult. Referred to him as an insignificant vermin. A base person. It was an insult and intentionally dismissive. Jesus was often dismissive of political authorities. When Pilate warned Jesus he had the power of life and death over him, Jesus dismissed the threat, saying, you don't have any power over me. You have none that my Father didn't give you. You don't have any power that didn't come from above. Paul demanded the political leaders of Philippi who violated the law, when they beat him and cast him into prison, and then tried to send the messenger to let him go when they realized their error? He said, no, uh-uh. They put us in here uncondemned as Romans. They need to come themselves personally and release us. Acts 16. There are other examples of God's prophets sometimes insulting political leaders and often rebuking them to their faces for their sinful behavior. Famously, John the Baptist rebuking Herod for taking his brother's wife in violation of the law. What business did that preacher have to say anything? You know, someone says typically, yeah, and he lost his head for that one. He, snicker, snicker. It's weird, the condition of the church today. Well, amen. Some of God's greatest prophets, and John, there was none greater than John, were killed by wicked political leaders. That's true. Is the point, you know, hey, you better not stand up to these varmints, right? What Jesus called Herod, because they might kill you. So let's let them walk all over us. Let's let them trample upon our inalienable rights, because if we don't, they might kill us. God help us and forgive us. We're pathetic. Where are the men who once upon a time would say, give me liberty or give me death? I tell you, if the preachers of the revolution were like these mealy-mouthed prophets of the caves that we have today, we would still be living under the British flag with King Georgies robbing us of our liberties. Where are the men? I mentioned preachers of the caves. What am I talking about? I'll tell you. In the days of Elijah, the great prophet Elijah, Ahab and his harlot wife Jezebel ruled the land of Israel, God's land. She persecuted the prophets of God that refused to compromise and become numbered among those she recruited to be prophets of the groves, who were fed at Jezebel's table. Yeah, they were on the dole, you know. Oh yeah, the government took care of them. They had a good medical plan, 3 squares a day, clothing allowance to buy their little dresses and their little slippers to prance about the altars of Baal. Well, the cave prophets are those that hid in the caves during this time, all huddled together, their little knees knocking, their little hands sweating like a pack of sissies, cringing in the corners of their caves, waiting for Obadiah to bring them lunch and news. What's Elijah done today? Some of them complained that Elijah was making it harder for them. He was just out there stirring the pot. Unreal. Others no doubt admired him, but were too cowardly to join him. Imagine God's preachers afraid to lose life or limb for liberty. Don't let them hide behind some pretended responsibility to protect the flock. Yeah, right. That's not protecting the flock. These fellows would stand between their flock and Jesus, who commanded that flock to hate this life, to deny self, and take up their cross, and who specifically said, do not fear him who could kill your body but cannot touch your soul. You would protect them from boldly braving the pretentious pilots who think themselves mighty and imagine they have the power of death over us, when we know that is a lie. They have no power over us. God doesn't give them. And instead, these sorts of pastors who would protect them from the lion of the tribe of Judah will turn around and feed them to that lion that prowls about looking for someone to devour. These cowards would protect them from obeying the king who commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and never commanded anyone to go hide in the mountains to preserve your life, who commanded you not to be of the world, but expressly prayed that you would be left in it, and then commanded you to go all over it. When crowds gathered to kill Paul, he wanted to walk right into the middle of that crowd. But preachers today are cowards. When J. Frank Norris, a great pastor in Texas, some years back, was fighting the booze industry in Fort Worth, he was told that a mob gathered in town square vowing to lynch him. He said, give me my Bible. I'll be right back. He went to where they gathered, stood up, and right on the place where they were going to hang him, and preached to them of their wickedness, their sin, their destiny hell, and their duty repent. The mob lost its nerve and walked away. But no one who knew Norris would think that he would have pleaded for his life if that crowd moved to take it. He would not be kowtowed. In fact, he shot one guy that came to his office with a gun to kill him. He would not be bullied or scared into the caves of Obadiah. But today, preachers back down to the devil at the first blast of a little fiery trial. They buckle up so quickly, they're on their knees to the state, transferring lordship of the church to the state, ready to turn their backs on the flock of God and feed that flock to the lust of the power of greedy politicians that hate Christ You know, there are so many fake Christians in churches today who sing with the heathen, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." They're enemies of the gospel. They're not friendlies. Right along with the heathen, man. They rage with the heathen. Well, pastors of churches like that, they sold out so long ago. They're gone anyway. They've knelt to the altar of Baal a long time. These are the prophets of the groves. But God help us. But God help us and deliver us from these prophets of the caves. You've got to resist the devil, not assist him in tearing down the church and denying the liberty that prevails wherever the Spirit of the Lord appears. Some of these characters don't stop to realize the only thing you accomplish when you submit to Satan is increasing his power and influence to hinder the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world today. You're not buying time to preach another day. You're giving up your rights unto God to preach today and every other day to come. You're going to let him drive you into, they don't even have to drive you into the caves. You go run and hide there. I don't believe in anything called the underground church. That's nonsense. The church was commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel, not hide in caves. Let your light shine. Don't hide it. That's the exhortation from our master, Mercy. Listen, friends, Satan's a liar and the father of it. Anyone leading with lies is operating under the influence of Satan, the devouring lion. We stand up to that old enemy of Christ. And we let the lion of the tribe of Judah roar. Let Jesus be manifest in your mortal flesh, the Bible says. So we say with confidence, we're going to obey God rather than man. I'm getting a bit off my point, but the truth, fact is, that is the point right now. That's where we are. We got to have these guys stand up. These wicked people are lying to us. And I would no sooner take a vaccine from a stinking snake that was lying to my face day after day after day than I would enter into a contract with Satan himself. Any government trying to use fear and not appealing to trust to govern, forget it. I'll have no part with this business of hiding in caves from these Jezebels and Ahabs. These Ahabs that would steal Naboth's vineyard by killing him off so he can take what they want. These Jezebels that seduce God's prophets to her table to be fed so they will compromise and preach the message she wants them to preach and the way she wants them to preach it. And these other prophets whose character is too set in truth of God's word to go that far and compromise. No, but they'll go hide from Jezebel and take the message, take the light, and go hide it under the bushel of a cave and leave Elijah out there standing alone. He felt all alone. He wasn't, but he felt like he was all alone. That's because of these prophets in the cave. They come out, rallied around him. Who knows what could have happened? Where are the men of the war for independence who said, "Give me liberty or give me death"? There are such men, but often when they stand, wrestle, and resist, the ninnies run off as far away from them as they can get, and they go find an Obadiah that will make sure they're fed while hiding in the cave. Such preachers are not protecting the flock. They're feeding the flock of God to the devil himself. Now, I've swerved off, but I'm telling you, friend, the hope for America right now is in the Lord's churches where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. The true churches have the keys of the kingdom. And if Jesus does not help us, we're going to be destroyed. And he won't help disciples that love this life so much they'll forsake him to keep it. They have become worthless, savorless, salt, and hidden light of no value to the kingdom. Hold on to the break, my friend. I'll be right back.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the Spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the Spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today. www.godswar2020.com. Go to godswar2020.com.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal, to release nonepinephrine neurotransmitters, and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Now, I've talked to you before about what I call the prophet's boil, and that's kind of what you got in the last segment. Sometimes the Holy Ghost just stirs so deep and so strong, it cannot be resisted, and it just boils over. I'll chat with you about AOC's silly statement that healthcare is a right tonight during our live stream visit. And the last segment actually went into some of the things I was planning to talk about in this one. Why pastors need to wake up to the reality and the principles of God's war before it's too late. So let me offer some insight into the issue of obtaining a religious exemption from the mandated vaccines tonight in our visit. And I'll offer some insights also for my friends who struggle with severe anger reaction to all of this. You know, what is my secret? How do you live with all of this negativity and maintain your cool? So I'll offer a couple of insights with regard to the religious exemption issue right now. I'm getting a lot of questions about this, and this Sunday night service begins at 5 p.m., by the way. I'll be addressing this question to the congregation at length, and with a quorum of the church present, the church will be called to act in its authority to decide, you know, from the scripture, as the head teaches us from the Word of God, what will be our doctrinal position on this matter. Actually, there will be no new doctrine articulated, of course, only a clarification of what our biblical doctrines say with regard to this question. When the church votes on what our position is, and that might occur this Sunday evening, on the other hand, it might occur on a follow-up service. But when it's done, the document will be made available to all of our members and any others who want to use it or look at it. The bottom line is that we will not violate our religious convictions in the matter of this state-mandated vaccine. Truly, they have built this like a golden image of the state and said we must bow or they will destroy us in their fiery trial. But we will not bow to the dictatorship of the state. We don't believe that that's right. We bow only to Christ the King. Now, having said that, here I'll only say the state has a prior mandate from God to protect our God-given, our Creator-endowed liberties. If any mandate, such as this to take a vaccine, involves an infringement of my God-endowed rights as a human being, created in His image and likeness, well then the prior mandate trumps any lesser mandate, and I'm not playing puns. Secondly, the state has not made a case for compelling citizens to take any vaccine for this coronavirus. The fact is, the state has simply lied to us. They've lied to us about the origins of the virus, the nature of it. They have said it evolved in nature and infected someone at a wet market in China. And it has been shown this is a lie. And furthermore, that Fauci and company knew it was a lie. This thing broke out in a lab in Wuhan where the bat lady was conducting research that every reasonable person knows was a CCP-supervised effort to weaponize a virus, to create a biological weapon. We know that the CCP military has said that this is the kind of thing they intend to do. Now, just see what's there. That does not gender trust in our government doctors or our medical scientists. The state has lied to us about available therapeutics to treat COVID patients. And this might be the most egregious and devilish lie of them all. I know I'm repeating myself in some measure from things said already, but look at this. This lie is the most completely exposed and yet it's virtually ignored. That's the danger, ignoring the light that God gives you. Back in about 2013, hydroxychloroquine, HCQ, and chloroquine itself were tested as treatments for SARS virus infections, coronaviruses, and it was found to be effective. This is something Fauci et al. Should know about, but the fact is, Fauci is on record as having recognized the efficacy of these treatments for virus infections that are in the category of coronaviruses, if they're administered early. However, when HCQ treatment became generally known, Fauci set out to question it, using the argument that it is something that had not been tested for COVID, obviously ignoring the many doctors who were using it with very satisfying results. The public awareness of this treatment option was spreading, and Fauci, fellow conspirator, DeJock, president or CEO of EcoHealth Alliance, that's a nonprofit organization, the one through which Fauci funneled funding, illegally really, to the Wuhan lab, well, this guy participated in putting together that fake study trying to show that HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, was ineffective in the treatment of COVID and even dangerous. The study was a lie. That study was alluded to by Fauci when he publicly insinuated that HCQ as a treatment was just quackery. And it was insulting. How many thousands of doctors in this country who are every bit as credentialed as he is this man insulting every day? And then it said to us that the public shouldn't use it. This study was also used by our government to justify prohibiting its use by doctors to treat COVID. And even after it was discovered that the study they were depending upon to support these bizarre measures, I mean, the government intruding into the health decisions made between a doctor and his patient. Excuse me? You know, remember abortion? When it was known that this study was false, fake, fraud, unsupportable, and pulled down from the Lancet site with a statement that the study was unverifiable. Nevertheless, up to 3 months later, CDC and FDA and other government health agencies and hospitals, etc., were using this study to support their policies to forbid the use of this as a treatment. Evidence continues to pile up showing it is effective, along with other treatments like ivermectin and more recently monoclonal antibody therapy. All are effective treatments for COVID, the first two for early diagnosis before the onset of symptoms or at the beginning of symptoms, and the latter for cases where there is a high risk of serious health consequences from infection. The number of people that have died because of this lie by our government and the ensuing cover-up that's followed is difficult to ascertain, but it is certainly in the hundreds of thousands. Some doctors, virologists, and epidemiologists who have used this treatment have estimated, or these treatments have estimated, as many as 80% of the total deaths could have been saved. That means 560,000 lives could have been saved if our medical establishment was just honest. Our FDA has utterly failed us. They participated in a scheme to lie to the American people about FDA approval of the Pfizer shot. It's a lie. I've read the letter sent from FDA to Pfizer regarding FDA approval, and the fact is the so-called BioNTech Pfizer vaccine that we're using right now continues under emergency use authorization only. And the shot that the FDA mentions in those letters as approved, it's called Comirnaty, must satisfy some serious tests before it can be released. And if you read these letters, it is obvious. They were written in such a way to confuse anyone reading them who doesn't read carefully and closely and pay attention to the language. I have them. You can get them. Furthermore, why did they redact where the Comirnaty vaccine will be manufactured and when? Lies, 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 obfuscation. We don't trust them. It's simple as that. That's why they have to put on this forced thing, you know, because we don't trust them. The whole mask mandate thing. No science has been cited to prove masks are effective as a public policy to stop the spread of any disease, especially one carried by virions so small they penetrate virtually every mask except those rated at 100 nanometers. And that would be the N95, the one mask CDC and Fauci consistently tell us not to use. The COVID virus is 125 nanometers. the mask you are wearing is hardly effective for anything smaller than 300 nanometers. Don't let them mess with your head about droplets. These are moisture droplets that carry the virion. They're usually larger than the virion they carry. The droplets evaporate close to immediately after release into the atmosphere, and if your mask does happen to stop a droplet, which it could, again, evaporates so quickly that when you inhale, if there is any virus particle on your mask, it's going to be sucked right down into your lungs. You would almost be better off not to catch the stinking droplet on your mask than to get it caught there and then it evaporates and then you suck it down into your lungs. Look, if you have COVID, you exhale the virion. If it does get trapped in your mask, then look, hold your breath, take off the mask, throw it away, put a clean one on, and then you can breathe again. Because you're going to suck it right down in there into your lungs, deeper into. Everyone will tell you the masks are not made for protecting anyone from a virus the size of a flu virion, like COVID. Even the box in which the mask is shipped or that you buy from a pharmacy, whatever, says so on the labeling. This is nuts. Someone has got to stand up to this and stop this insanity. So the state has not made their case that the vaccine is even effective in protecting anyone from the disease. Like the nurse said, in appropriate and totally understandable frustration and exasperation, quote, "Why do the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected in the first place?" Well, I apologize to those anticipating my commentary on the reach of the CCP into our lives today and my secret for keeping my spirits up while wading neck deep in all this negative news that's flooding us right now. So I'll touch on all this tonight during my live stream visit. We're continuing work on providing an alternative to Facebook for my live stream, and we'll keep you posted as we make progress. But right now, you don't have to have a Facebook account. Just search Facebook.com and then search for Lighthouse Baptist Church, Santa Maria, California, or use my last name when you find it. Then like the page and set notifications to be notified. Now, you need to be warned that Facebook tends to restrict the number of notifications that will be sent for my live stream. So if you'll get on my email list, I'll send you a notification about 10 minutes before I go live. And that's going to start real soon. You can go to godswar2020.com and use the email facility there to send me an email that says, put me on the notification list. I've lit the lamps in the Church of Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. Lights on if you agree with what I'm saying. Lights off if you disagree and so on, right? But if you want to contact me, call 1-805-314-2114 and leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, or go to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and then write me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The choice is clear. One side wants to remove America out from under God. The other side wants to reaffirm America as one nation under God. One side wants to force homosexuality, promiscuity, and abortion to term on all of us. They want to force us to recognize 51 genders. They want to take away our right to self-defense. They want to encourage men to think they're girls and force our girls to compete with men in athletics. They are unreasonable and wicked. We must stand against this spirit of Antichrist. The choice is clear. The battle for America is on. Choose your side: the spirit of Jesus Christ and liberty, or the spirit of Antichrist and tyranny.
Satan wants you to believe the world belongs to him, and that you, Christian, have no say and no place in it. But the secret is out. Jesus is king, and all mankind are his subjects. Satan has no right to rule an inch of territory in the earth. Learn how to claim the earth for Jesus Christ. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com.